This morning, we're going to step away from our sermon series on being spiritually healthy, and we're going to move into this Holy Week, and it's going to be just a three-part mini-series entitled, Are We Stuck in Our Faith? And in that series, you're going to learn about being stuck on our donkeys this morning. We have a beautiful donkey up here, and I need to give credit to Sandy Vantall. She laid that out this morning. She doesn't like it when I do that, but she did an amazing job this morning. And so it goes well with the message as well. And then we'll get into being stuck in the tomb. And then on Easter morning, we're going to get in being stuck at, I'm going to back that up. Monday, Thursday, we're going to be talking about being stuck at the cross. And then Easter morning, we're going to talk about being stuck in the tomb and what that looks like in our faith and what does God expect from us as we live out our faith today. And so this morning, we're stuck on our donkeys. And I'm going to encourage you to get off your donkey this morning. And as I researched this, there are all kinds of books about this. I didn't realize this. And I see some of you are smirking and you're laughing. And there are people that good Christian authors that have wrote stuff about being active in the faith. And so this morning, that's what we're talking about. And so my sermon title was Jesus on the Move. That's what we're talking about today. And you know a lot of this story, but I want to bring it in a different perspective with hopefully a fresh set of eyes, and so maybe some things that will also challenge you in your faith journey as well. So I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah was prophet of the Lord, Old Testament. It's in the very back of the Old Testament, so we're just in front of the New Testament by a couple of books, page maybe 1484 or so. Now Zechariah spoke this prophecy 520 years before Christ arrived. He spoke these words to the people of Israel. And this is what he said. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now remember that the Israelites would have known this, their Old Testament well. They heard Zechariah speak, and so they would have been aware this is the prophecy that is coming. And so when they see this unfold that day, they are very aware of what's happening. And then now turneth me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I'm going to go all the way back to verse 1 through 11. We're going to get the full story this morning. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now I want you to just keep your page, look at this, your Bible this morning with me. Now look what happens after verse 11. This is significant to the message this morning. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. And of course, we know the story that he was upset about what's going on in the temple, and this is the temple of God. Where they worshiped, but here's the key. Something had to take place between verse 11 and 12, and that is that Jesus got off of his donkey in Jerusalem and began his ministry there, and we knew what the week would unfold for him as well. And so remember that this morning as well. Now, I want you to turn also to the book of Luke. It's not in the bulletin, but I added that on. If you know your Bible well enough, there are themes and stories of donkeys all over the place. It's a very well-known mode of transportation to haul equipment and gear, whatever they had. And so I want to just take out one verse about the Good Samaritan this morning as well. Luke 10, verse 34. Now, you know the story about the Good Samaritan, but here's what he did. And I want you to look at what happens, how he uses his donkey. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So this man gave up his donkey to help those that were in need. And the key for the Samaritan man was that he did the same thing. He got off his donkey and was in ministry and was active and alive in the faith. And so let us take a moment and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, your word has spoken to us this morning, and I pray that you bring that word to life. And Lord, may these words be your words, and Lord, may that Spirit fill me as I bring this message to your people today. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your house and those that are online listening at home. Lord, may you bless them this morning. May they receive it. May you open their hearts, their minds, and souls that they can grow in their faith. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. So I have a little story for you this morning. How many of you enjoy bull riding? Anybody in here? Well, I see a few hands this morning. Well, guess what? Many of you will know the person that's on this bull this morning because he's sitting here in our congregation. And I have some questions for him. So Colin, Baron Scott, if you'd come up this morning. So here's my question that I have for him this morning. And he knows this is coming. So this is not a shock to him this morning, right? We talked this week. But here's my thought. Have you ever wondered what goes through the mind of a bull rider, not only before he goes on? By the way, you have greatly increased your mom and dad's prayer life, I'm sure, all right, through this. So, is this in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
This is in Ames, Iowa, actually.
Oh, this is in Ames, Iowa. Okay. So, what I want him to answer for you this morning is when he's going to get thrown off the bull, or hopefully you get a full ride in and you got to dismount the bull, what goes through your mind?
Run.
All right. Very good. That's exactly what I was looking for, too. It's to run. You don't stand up and just dust yourself off, do you, and find your hat back and put it back on and just kind of casually walk out?
No, don't look back. Just run.
Just run. Don't look back even. Okay. Good. So, and I know last time I think I talked to you, you were in Sioux Falls, and you actually were underneath the bull, got stepped on, but we're thankful that you made it out of there alive. So the key this morning that I wanted to hear, when you are in your faith journey, when you're on your donkey, you're not very active for God, and he calls us to get off. Just like Colin did, don't look back, but run, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So you can have a seat. Thank you for sharing this morning as well. So, you can continue to pray for Colin, and especially his parents, so as he does this sport. But that's the point I want to make to us this morning. In your faith walk, do we just sit around in our faith, and do we just dust ourselves off, and we casually just hang around? And because we are called to be active in the kingdom of God, right? He calls us to something that we are supposed to do in this kingdom that you and I live in from day to day throughout our life. And so my question for you this morning is about your faith journey. Because God's on the move. We see Jesus on the move in this story of Palm Sunday this morning. So are we just standing around brushing ourselves off? Because there's no reason for us to be, because we are called to get after the work of the kingdom. So this next three sermons, I've kind of laid out some groundwork for you this morning. Is going to be about that, about God calling us into the work of the kingdom wherever you are. And so today's message is about getting off your donkey. So we celebrate these events. You think about what's going to go on this week. It's Palm Sunday. It's a time to rejoice. The king is here. They're celebrating. And then we know we head into Maundy Thursday. Right? The Last Supper. And we know what Good Friday holds because Jesus goes to the cross willingly for our sins. And then we get to celebrate Easter morning next week when he rose from the grave. Just a week of forgiveness and blessing and grace from God our Father for each and every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. But way, way deeper when we figure out who this Jesus is. And so Christ invites each and every one of us into ministry, wherever that might be in our lives. And so as we enter into Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, we know that Jesus is on the move. Now let me set the stage for you. Let me give you some history of what this day, this journey might have looked like for Jesus and his disciples. They journeyed from Galilee to Jerusalem. It was a tough walk. Anybody here been to the Holy Land? I have not myself, but someday it's on my bucket list. I want to go. But it is a rugged country, rough. Boulders, rocks, up and down hills, and maybe even some mountains at times it might feel like, but it's rough terrain. And this last 15 miles of their journey from Jericho to Jerusalem involved an uphill climb that took about 6 to 8 hours to climb. About a 3,000-foot incline. Have any of you hiked in the mountains before? Some of you have. I know you have because you've been with me. All right? Yeah, but it's work. It's work. So they started early that Friday morning, and they began that journey to Bethany, where they'd stop for the evening, because you knew that Jews celebrate the Sabbath when? Saturday. And when did the Sabbath begin? On Friday night. So Jesus would have stopped in Bethany on Friday night. They would have prepared for the Sabbath and did all that kind of work with his disciples. Bethany, by the way, just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. Not very far. And so the celebration took place on Saturday evening with many of his closest followers from the Jerusalem area, at which time Mary would also anoint Jesus' feet. You remember that story as well? With the perfume in her hair, and all this is taking place on that joyful, triumphal entry on that Sunday morning. And then on Sunday morning, Jesus instructs two of his disciples, make preparations, get ready to go into Jerusalem, into the city. And so you need to realize that Jesus has been on 2.5-3 years of ministry, and his disciples are following him, and there's a lot of things that have happened. He's reaching stardom here. He's healed many. The word is out. People know who this Jesus is. They know the things that he's done in this world. People are excited. There's rumors that are spreading that Jesus is in the area. The king, he's here. Things are going to change. Things are going to be different now. The time is ripe for the Messiah to come. And as the Passover season arrived, the messianic excitement was high. God's people are looking for a Savior, the Jewish people. And so Jesus sends two of his disciples into a small town along the way, Bethphage, which we learned about this morning in Scripture, where they were to obtain this donkey and its colt. And how many of you, if somebody came to you and they took something from you, like Elle said this morning, it's for the Lord, how many would you be willing to give that up? A vehicle or whatever it might be, I'd be pretty hesitant. But of course, God had that all worked out in those people's hearts. Now, remember what I read to you in Zechariah 9, verse 9. So people begin to see the donkey and the foal arrive, and Jesus is preparing to get on the donkey, and God's people are around him. Now, this is men, women, and children that have been following now for probably several days. And they see what's unfolding. And Zechariah 9, verse 9 comes right to mind. This is what the Lord spoke of from Zechariah 500 years before. This is it. It's happening today. They're so excited. And now all these events begin to unfold. Jesus has been talking to his disciples probably for several weeks, maybe even years, that there's going to become a culmination here, and you're not going to fully understand it. I'm going to explain it to you how it's going to go, but to be honest with you, these disciples, They really didn't understand what Holy Week was going to look like, what Monday, Thursday would be about that Last Supper, what Good Friday would hold in store for them. All hope would be lost on Saturday, and then Sunday comes. What a emotional week. And I truly believe that his disciples fully didn't gather and grasp everything that was going on in this week. And maybe that's for you and I as well this morning. We don't fully understand everything that's going on, but we're sure trying to learn, and we're sure clinging to Jesus Christ in an attempt to become a follower of him in our lives. And you know the story. The crowd, they threw their garments down. They cut these leafy palm branches or palm fronds from the trees, and they laid them in down in respect to the king. They acknowledged him as their Lord and Savior. And they come out to meet Jesus. Some preceded him. And I told you before that this is a large crowd. And they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And that literally means, "Save us now, Lord. Take us away from this rule. These rituals that we're a part of. And bring us freedom. Liberate us from the Roman government." And you know how the story ended. And they were devastated that day when Jesus Christ said, "Go to the cross." Their hopes and their dreams diminished. But now you and I know the rest of the story, don't we? We're on the backside of this great week and what we look forward to. We know that Jesus is alive. But here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. This is your take home. This is your homework. I want you to look at your faith walk here. And just know that, let's get to the right slide right here. There are three types of people in the city that day. Let's look at them. And my question for you at the end of this is, what group do you belong to? Where are you in your faith journey? Because I don't want you to be stuck on your donkey. I want you to get off and be a follower of Jesus Christ. So here's the first group. And as you read scripture on the path, the message in Matthew this morning, the passage that we read, here's the first one. There are dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. They're all in. They're throwing down the palm fronds, they're taking their cloaks off, and they're praising the Lord for who he is. And they know that this is a mighty Savior. And then there are those, the second people group, they're in the crowd, they're probably not quite as close, and maybe they're not quite sure who this Jesus is yet, but they're along for the ride. They like what they see. Maybe that's you and I today. We're part of the church, but we haven't fully committed yet to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We understand the story, we get it, we know what we should do, but we're just not quite there yet. And then we have the third group of people. And I'd even go as far to call these the Pharisees. Those who were resistant to the movement of Jesus Christ and said, "This can't be the guy. This is not right. This is not how it works. This is not how it should be." They weren't convinced that this Jesus was real. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're not quite sure that, you know, is Jesus the one for me? And I don't know where you're at in your faith journey or in your faith walk or what's going on in your life between you and God. That's between you and him. But here's the point that I want you to get this morning. Wherever you find yourself, I want you to always be on the move in your faith, getting closer and closer to Jesus Christ in his knowledge, in his forgiveness, in his grace, in his teaching. That's what I want to see go on in your life. I want you off of your donkey, working in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So where do you find yourself? What group do you belong to? And maybe you're in between a couple of them, but you know where you're at. But are you still on the move? Are you still on the move in your spiritual life? Now, I stopped in the reading of Matthew this morning at verse 11. I said, take note here, right? And then verse 12 comes, and Jesus goes into the temple of God. And at some point, we know and understand that Jesus got off the donkey in Jerusalem, and he walked into the temple, and he had things to straighten out there and to reorganize the temple of God. And we know that they didn't like that. But the key point that I want to make to you is that he got off his donkey and he entered the temple of God. And so God needs a church. God needs people that are on the move in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are redeemed, who are dedicated followers of Jesus Christ, you cannot be removed from your faith. That is not how it works, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And let me give you some examples. A removed attitude says this: when you see things or you hear of things or you know you should be involved in things, you say this: that's not my problem. I'm not called to that. That's not my concern. Let somebody else take care of that. Right? And then I read you a verse out of Luke, chapter 10, verse 34, of the Good Samaritan. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. That means that he got off of his donkey and he did the work of the kingdom. And in fact, he even gave up his donkey. Gave up his donkey, and he put the broken man who was beat on his donkey, and he took him to the closest inn to care for him. And he even paid for the care of this individual who was so beaten and battered and bruised. You see, God needs a church like that. It doesn't matter who it is, or what's going on, or why it's happening, or what it's going to cost. That's the point of the story. I truly believe that when God moves, he moves in mighty ways, and time and money and resources, God doesn't care about any of that because it's all at his disposal. Sometimes we get wound up with that, or we wonder how this is going to go, and then we can contribute that back and say, well, where's your faith, right? Now, there's wisdom in all of that, and I understand that. But sometimes we got to step out of our box. I think I had somebody come to me this week and we were talking about something. You mean we got to get out of our boat? The same principle here. Got to get out of the boat. Got to get off your donkey. And do you know that when a church is on the move and you're in the kingdom of God, things are going to get a little messy? That's okay. That's all right. Because we're not always polished Christians, are we? We're a broken people. A church that is on the move kicks Satan out. Disharmony moves out, and the Holy Spirit moves in. So God has called his believers to be on the move. Now, notice from our verse that the crowds, they lay down their cloaks, their garments, before Christ as he travels along the road. So here's the next point of my message here I want you to notice. Now, I told you that this is a symbolism that they recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior in their lives, but this is also a sign of submission. I honor you, Lord. I honor your ways, Lord. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And you throw down your cloak or your garment, and you say, I'm going to follow you for who you are, no matter what comes in my life or what happens to me. So let me ask you some more questions. What are you doing in your life, in your community, in your family to welcome Jesus Christ? What does it look like to throw that cloak down for others? How do you sacrifice in the kingdom of God? How do we show submission to him in our lives, throughout the week, when you're at work, or whatever it might be in your life, the places you go and the people you see? You know, and maybe for some of us here this morning, we haven't laid nothing down yet. So I'm asking you to do that today. And maybe we have part of our stuff laying out there on the floor, but yet we still have some we're carrying around because we're just not quite sure yet. Can I trust God with that area of my life? And I pray that someday you can get to that point where you can do that, where you're all in as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our work, our family, our possessions, our monies, our dreams, our goals, all of it must be brought to Christ. Not just part, not just some, but we submit everything we have. We know belongs to the Lord. That's how he calls us to live. And then we need to be asking ourselves this question. And this is probably even a harder question that you're going to have to answer. And I don't have the answer for this, but you need to figure that out. We need to be asking God, what do I need to do to further your kingdom? Where is it you're calling me to? What would you like to see me be involved in? What does that look like? And so you and I need to be talking to God. We need to be praying to God for those answers. We need to be talking with our neighbors, our friends, our family about what Jesus has done. In a way that you don't judge people, but you love them with grace and affection. You know, I've been a part of this community my entire life. I've known the Inwood area and Northwest Iowa really well, and many of you have as well. You grew up here and you know that, but you know, if you were to look around the last 4 or 5 years, things have changed drastically, haven't they? Of those who live in our community and the things that go on in our community from week to week, it's nothing to hear stories, crazy wild stories of things going on, isn't there? How many knew about the car that flew into the roof in Larchwood? See, you all know it, don't you? Yeah. And the high-speed chases that have been going on, and I just talked to somebody this morning that their store was broken into, and people, there's this division, I believe, that's going on of those who are churched and those who are not, but they're lost, and they're desperate, and they get involved in the wrong thing. And that might even be us from time to time. But here's the point. There's a lot of work to do in ministry within our communities and within our lives. And every week, the next 3 sermons, I'm going to introduce to you a new ministry that you can be a part of. How many of you heard of Freedom's Gate? How many of you read the newsletter this past week? Maybe a couple. Maybe Bonnie didn't send it out yet, but I think she did. In there, I have an article in there that we've committed to Freedom's Gate 1 Sunday every 2 months. Sioux Falls, prisoners. We're going to feed them, we're going to spend time with them, we're going to get to know them, and they're going to get to know us. These are people on the outside that just came out of the penitentiary or Springfield Prison. You get to be a part of that. Not only is it missional, but it stretches you and I, and it also builds the kingdom of God. I have 2 more I'm going to let you know about this week. You're going to have to come to church to find out on Monday, Thursday, and Easter morning. Of new ministries that are going on in Inwood where God's on the move. And he said, church, come along. Come on, come along. I'm calling you here. So you got to be willing to go. That's what it's about. You and I need to be on the move in the kingdom, led by the Holy Spirit. And like the black box says on the screen, you and I need to get off of our donkeys for God. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.